Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Alfred Addisk, and this is Financial Survival. My co-host today is Frank Stephan. Frank will join us shortly. First, let's do the market reports. Gold is up $6.60 to $1,283.80 per ounce. Silver is up 7 cents to $19.52 per ounce. Platinum is down $2 to $14.20. Palladium is down 5 to 889. Let's go down and look at the equities. Dow Jones up 40 points to 17,117. NASDAQ is up 14 points to 4,572. New York Stock Exchange up 25 points to 11,030. U.S. Dollar Index is up again to up 0.07 to 82.7 or 82.63. Crude oil is up 57 cents today, which is almost unusual that crude is rising at all and in the last month or so. But it's still down at $93.92 per barrel. We talked a little about that yesterday and speculated that the peculiar fall in the price of crude oil, which seems almost inexplicable given the instability in the Middle East. We suspect, Frank and I suspect, that the prices are being artificially manipulated. And I suspect, and Frank agrees, that it may be that the price of oil is being held down in order to meddle with Russia, which is, I think, the single greatest exporter of petroleum products in the world right now. I think they've exceeded Saudi Arabia. I'm not sure if they're number one. If they're not, they're two or three, but they're one of the top ones, and they may be the number one. And therefore, if we put the price of oil down, if we can hold it down, it may be that this is a way of meddling with Russia and President Putin and making them rue the day as they ever dared to intrude in the affairs of the Ukraine. Hello, Frank. How are you doing?
Good, good.
Takes you a minute to hit that mute button, doesn't it? Yeah, you can see the pause. It's like,
But I didn't start talking before I did, at least.
What do you think? Do you see anything that you regard as particularly new and important in the world today, or you want me to just take off with some items?
To go along with the what you were just saying about, you know, manipulating the oil to keep you know, to try to retaliate against Russia, because it is it is kind of a economic war, or at least a conflict right now, because, you know, Russia has also said, okay, fine, we're not importing any more of your food. And here's a story right here. Farm income seen falling 14%. Well,
farm income where? In Euro? In the European Union?
No,
or in
U.S. farmers. U.S. farmers.
Is that right? You're not attributing that to Russia closing down its imports from the United States?
Well, the story here is not drawing that conclusion.
Okay.
But I just find it, you know, I just find it odd that, okay, crude's going down, and Russia is a huge exporter of oil. Russia says, well, fine, in response, we're going to, you know, to your sanctions, we're going to not, we're not having any more of your chicken in here, we're not having any more of who knows what in there, and now there's a report, farm income seen falling 14%. Now, I don't know, it could just be all a big coincidence, but I'm thinking maybe it's not a coincidence.
I understand.
You know.
And how stupid is it then? We are cutting off our nose to spite our face, or at least that's the way it appears.
Well, yeah, you know, and I don't think it's going, the lower prices are probably not helping Russia any, you know, for their oil. They depend on that foreign income to, you know, to run whatever they're running. So, I don't know. This is like a mutually assured destruction sort of thing. It's like, let's just, you know, we'll fight till we're both dead.
Yep, it's like a game of chicken, all right? And both of them are cruising down the road, hollering out the window like a bunch of teenage boys and the rest of that sort of thing, you know. And it's just stupid. And you would think that the adults would have better sense. But the truth is the adults don't have better sense. They just drive bigger cars. That's all.
I'd be all for them just playing chicken until they crash head-on in each other and die. But the fact is, we're all in the car along with them. You know,
that's the problem.
You know, so if there was a way we could get out of the car, fine, have at it.
And the truth of the matter is, the people that are steering the car aren't in the car.
Right.
They're steering these cars by remote control. You and I are riding in the cars.
Right. They're like,
and Obama's sitting off on the sidelines, and he's working his Xbox or whatever it is to steer the automobile and make it go faster and head more directly at Putin. And Putin is controlling the cars that the Russians are riding in, but they're off protected on the sidelines. Push comes to shove, they're not going to go hungry.
Right, right. It's like some maniac.
Their world may be a little inconvenienced, but that's as far as it goes. So, what do we got? Hey, we got some good news, though. Yesterday we talked about crime in Chicago had fallen by an average of 25% since Chicago legalized concealed carry of firearms. It was great evidence that the mere possibility that people might have firearms. I don't know. You're walking down the street. You don't know if this guy's got a firearm or doesn't have a firearm, but you know that he could have a firearm. All right? Mm-hmm. Therefore, just the idea that people might have a gun has helped to stop a lot of crime, roughly 25%. And conversely, gun control, where we know for a fact, this guy doesn't have a gun. He doesn't have a gun. We know that, so let's get him. Gun control will tend to increase rates of assault, robbery, and murder.
Today,
the Washington Times reported another victory for the Second Amendment. Go ahead, Frank.
No, I said that's true, and it's been you know, shown everywhere that they've ever done either. It, you know, you go for serious gun control, you know, basically strong-arm crime goes up. And, you know, you loosen it up, it goes down. It's not even arguable.
It's the old idea, Winchester, God made all men and Winchester made them equal.
Right.
Right. You take away the rifles and the shotguns and the pistols and the revolvers and whatever. And all of a sudden, if you're not physically big or physically powerful, you are in substantial jeopardy. On the other hand,
and even if you
a
are,
big man can after you while you're packing a small gun, and the battle is significantly equalized.
Well, and even if you are big and strong and a boxer, say, it doesn't matter, because that 90-pound you know, criminal who doesn't care what the law says has a gun.
Yeah. You
know?
And you don't.
No, because you're a law-abiding citizen.
Yeah. When the government has outlawed the bar, you're always in jeopardy. You know, it's just we see this. But in any case, here's another article from the Washington Times that a federal judge severely limited California's gun purchase waiting period in a ruling released Monday that says the law is unconstitutional when applied to those who have gone through the process to get concealed weapon to get a concealed weapons permit, or who the state already knows to be firearms owners. In other words, first-time gun buyers are still subject to a 10-day waiting period. But Judge Anthony W. Ishii ruled that those who have already been judged competent to own a gun should not be forced to wait on an additional period every time they seek to purchase a new gun. The ruling signals the Second Amendment goes beyond the right to own a single gun and protects Americans' rights to own multiple guns. And here's Judge Ishii. He wrote, the Second Amendment applies to arms, plural, and the language does not limit its full protection to a single firearm. Some firearms are better suited for particular lawful purposes than others. Defendant has cited no authority that suggests that the Second Amendment has only the application to a single firearm. You know, it's not an enormous victory per se. It's almost just common sense, really.
Right.
If it's been approved, you don't need to be approved for each particular handgun you purchase. It makes a lot of sense.
Well, it actually does. It's crazy that, you know, I mean, I get it. You know, whatever, you know, okay, like the first time here in Oregon, because, you know, years ago this wasn't the case, but then they changed the law, and, you know, now you have to have a background check, so... I did, and the first time, it took something like 25 days or something, because there was some disorderly conduct from 1979 at the beach in New Jersey that, you know, was, they had to determine if this was a domestic violence case.
And if it was?
Well, if it was, you'd be denied. Domestic violence is something now that, even though domestic violence wasn't even a crime back in 79, there was no law. Assault was assault. You know, if you assaulted anybody, it was assault. Now,
I understand.
You know, you can assault somebody, but, oh, if they're not like a relative, then that's okay. You can have a gun. Mm-hmm. But if you assault a relative, you know, then, no, you can't, because that's domestic violence. But, you know, so this is like, okay, a disorderly conduct. I don't know how that could ever become a, you know, and that's kind of spooky, that disorderly conduct can be considered a domestic violence charge, which would, you know,
it's
make it...
It's even beyond that. They're looking back to 1979, for God's sake. They might go back into high school to see if you ever teased any of the other kids in high school or grade school.
The thing is,
this is just
them,
looking for an excuse to deny.
It took so long because, of course, back then everything was not computerized, and it was in a box in the basement somewhere, and they, you know, they had to get somebody to go get it, and that took forever, you know, and finally they got it, and I was cleared and all that. But after that, I did it again, you know, got another gun, and it was immediate. I mean, they put it in, and 15 minutes later, it came back approved, because on the background checks, they do obviously have that function in there that, look, you know, if we've already checked back 30 years, we're only going to check back as far as the last time you had a background check.
You know what that implies?
Huh?
You know what that implies?
It implies,
it doesn't prove this, but it implies that if you do this background check today, they may go back 30 years to find out that background, but as they say, okay, he's good up until today. If you do something tomorrow, a month from now, or a year from now, it implies that maybe they're already, that'll be automatically going into your record, your gun approval history. Got a little database. Got a gun, got a history. We're keeping track of you from here on out. If you get any traffic tickets or whatever, we're going to know if you've been naughty.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. I don't know that it's true, but I wouldn't doubt it.
You know, I mean, you give them what they do, you would almost expect them to do that.
Well, I understand. It'd be surprising if they weren't, if they didn't. But you can also look at, what do you think it costs? to do a gun background check in Oregon that ultimately causes somebody to be chasing around and digging in the boxes in the basement
in New
up
Jersey.
In New Jersey.
Yeah.
I mean, it'd be almost cheaper to just give you the gun, right?
Yeah.
Listen, we'll pay for the gun, Frank. You just pay for the background check. How about that?
Right. Yeah, well, yeah. You know, and they only charge 10, I think it's 10 bucks for the background check, and I figured that probably cost more than 10 bucks that time. You know, but they and they don't follow the law either. This is something people have to understand too, that we have something going on in America where the law, I mean, we look at Obama with the illegal immigration thing and say we're all, you know, this is terrible. He just ignores the law. Well, he's not the only one. The ATF, as a matter of fact, when you go to a gun, if they here in Oregon, if they get do a background check, they actually have, I think it's 72 hours to get it done. If they don't get it done,
that means they've got 71 hours to stall if they want to.
Right. But if they don't get it done, it's written right into the regulations that the gun shop can now give you your gun. But they won't. But they won't because the ATF agents have told them not to. So you go down there and you talk, because I did this. I said, look, man, the law, you got the big book of regulations right there. And you know how I found out about this? The state police, the Oregon State Police, told me so, because they're the ones in charge of the background checks. And the woman that I spoke to at the Oregon State Police told me, she goes, well, you know, if they don't get it done in 72 hours, there's nothing stopping. There's nothing legal stopping that store owner from giving you your gun now. So I went down there, and they've got this big book right there on their counter. I opened it right to the part where she told me, and there it was. And I said, hey, look here. They wouldn't do it. Got an attitude with me, too.
Yeah. Well, they're going to try to protect their license to sell those guns, which is part of the reason why you have to wonder, is this licensing necessarily good or bad? But the solution, perhaps, is just to sue one of them, get in a position, get the court to rule that they have to give you the gun after 72 hours, and it may be that the dealers themselves would be relieved if someone would just sue them, sue one of them, and get a court ruling that says, yeah, they got to hand out the gun. Now what? Now the ATF can just go whistle. We've got a judge that says, nope, 72 hours, better deliver that handgun or rifle or whatever it is you're talking about. So who knows? You know, they're just trying to make a buck. That's
well,
what
that's
comes
true.
Down to this.
And the regulation is written that they may give you the gun, not shall.
All right. Then that's all right. More wiggle room.
Yeah.
I'm Alfred Addis here with Frank Stefan on Financial Survival. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Frank Stefan on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. Here's today's daily special, an MS63 $20 St. Gaudens. That's 1 ounce of gold, or just a shade under, and Mint State 63. This is a collectible. 1 ounce Silver Eagle, shipping included, $1,580. That's a savings of $80 at least, as compared to what you can expect to see if you were to purchase these elsewhere. The Mint State 63 $20 St. Gaudens is often considered one of the most beautiful all U.S. coins. They offer any portfolio protection, privacy, and performance. The 1 ounce Silver Eagle, of course, is 99% silver, and everybody's seen them. Shipping is included, again, for MS63, $20 St. Gaudens, 1 ounce Silver Eagle. Shipping, $1,580. Call Discount Gold and Silver to lock in the great special while supplies last. 1-800-375-4188. Let's see what else. Here's something that's just, this is an extraordinary report. This is from the Sovereign Man, Simon Black, writing a publication called The Sovereign Man. And he had an article that comes out today. China has lost 55% of its rivers. Right? This is astonishing. A study by China's Ministry of Water Resources found that approximately 55% of China's 50,000 rivers that existed in the 1990s have disappeared. We're talking about losing 55% of your rivers in 25 years. I mean, that's just mind-boggling. Moreover, China is overexploiting its groundwater by 22 billion cubic meters per year, yet its per capita water consumption is less than one-third of the global average. China, due to its excess population, is living in a state of something like continuous drought. You know, we talk about people, and we've got a problem in California. We've got drought in California. I get that. But China is using one-third as much water as the global average. And I'll guarantee you, however dry it gets in California, they're still using more water in California than the global average. China is technically deeper into drought than California. More than 400 major cities in China are short on water, with some 110 facing serious scarcity. China has been acquiring land across Africa and South America. The goal is to increase China's food supply, reduce its dependence on U.S. For grain imports, and reduce its domestic water demand. Biggest part of the water demand is probably growing crops. Certainly one of the biggest, maybe the biggest. And therefore, if you can import more food, you don't need to use as much water. Globally, some 2 billion people, that's almost 30% of the world population, face a water deficit, and dozens of countries have to import water. Throughout history, water has been one of the most important resources in the world and a major cause for conflict. You know, food is important, but the average man or woman can live 30 days without any food. You've got enough fat on your body to keep you alive for 30 days. But without water, you're only going to last about 3 days. So you can see that water's 10 times more important than food. And the only thing more important than water is oxygen. And they haven't figured a way to mess that up yet, but I don't doubt there are people working in corporate laboratories right now to figure out how even the oxygen can be compromised. But point, water's big in terms of its importance. It's vital to everyone's survival. And we can see that we can see the potential for conflict in places like Southeast Asia, where the Mekong countries bicker over who has the right to build dams and otherwise exploit the river. In all of those countries, plus Bangladesh, India, and Myanmar, are furious with China's plans to commandeer more upstream river sources for itself. Well, you can see what's going to happen here. There's going to be war over water rights. You know, we used to see movies, Westerns used to be popular here in this country. We used to see them all the time when I was growing up. And I don't know how many times we saw range wars that involved access to water, you know, in the movies about cowboys and so on. They had to have access. But it's true. Yeah. And the same thing is going to happen out in Southeast Asia. And China is desperate for water. And the people that are downstream from China say, wait, you're going to take all of our water. So you can figure there's a water war in your future, ladies and gentlemen, and there's an economic and political collapse headed for China.
Well, I don't know if you've ever looked into the Three Gorges Dam that China built. It's the biggest dam on the earth. And I watched a whole documentary about the thing. It's really interesting. I mean, there were all kinds of tribes and stuff living along there that they moved out, and they basically flooded so many ancient, you know, temples, and they don't care. The Chinese government doesn't care about stuff like that. But the main thing is there were real concerns because seismologists said that, look, water is heavy, and this is humongous amount of water, and you're going to be putting it right on top of what we've already found as a fault line. And so they've got all this weight pushing down on this fault line at this Three Gorges Dam, and if that thing ever fails, that dam, China is going to be finished as far as any kind of economic, you know, engine or manufacturing, because, you know, right along there at the bottom, I think, is Shanghai. You know, and that would be real bad for them if that thing broke. And, you know, it's just, I don't know, China has real problems that...
Enormous problems.
...are long-term problems. You know, things could be going great right now. I mean, everything seems
They
really
seem
good.
To be going great. Yeah. They seem to be going great. And there's certainly a great improvement over what was true 20 years, 50 years ago. No doubt that it's much improved.
But they need to make steps in a way that are a little more than long term, because from what I understand, you know, the communists
that means you need a new religion. Well, if you're going a little more than long term, you're thinking about the next life rather than this one, Frank.
Well, the thing is, though, from what I understand, that the communist government way is to come up with 5-year plans. You know, we got a 5-year plan here. Well, they need to push that out a little bit further, because 5 years, they might make it another 5 years, fine, but, you know, they might not in 20 if they just keep going along the way they're going.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. China is not, you know, people talk about, well, you know, China's going to attack, they're going to invade, they're going to, you know, I don't know. I think China has their own problems, I don't think they're going to be adventuring out much.
They have an aging population. They have a disproportionate number of boys relative to girls. They have not enough water by any. I mean, they're living on the people in the Middle East who probably have on average more water than maybe China does. The dam you're talking about? You know, I saw reports that I've seen a report that the city of Peking has actually sunk. The entire city has sunk about 5-6 feet deep compared to what its elevation used to be.
Wow.
And it didn't see, and it's all dropping uniformly. Right?
Well,
it didn't break up
that.
The pipes. There's probably some pipes that are broken up and some foundations, but essentially the whole city is settling. And what it reminds me, we see these pictures. We have these holes in the ground in Florida.
Right.
Where all of a sudden the earth gives way and there's one of these chasms where the water. What's happening is they pump so much water out from under Peking that the whole land mass is settling. Now, I can tell you something, Frank. If there's ever a day that I find out that the place I'm living in here in Dallas has settled 5 feet, I am going to pack my bags and tiptoe out of the hole. You understand that? I'm not going to stomp my feet. I'm not going to make any unnecessary thumping, bumping, or noises, but I'm getting out of here.
Yeah, that's pretty significant. And Peking's a big... Peking's a big city. I mean, to have the whole thing go down that far is amazing.
Yeah, yeah, just extraordinary.
Well,
point behind
kinda,
all
you know,
this.
It kind of now it explains because I'm sure you've seen them online about these brand new cities that China has supposedly built that are completely empty.
Yep.
Well, that explains it. They're figuring, hey, you know, when Peking gets into the sinkhole, just move into these new cities for whoever's left.
Yeah, whoever escapes.
You know, and that's probably the only thing China has going for is that they don't really mind killing, you know, their people wholesale. So
yeah,
it gets to be the problem. Well, you know, we've decided you have to go now.
Nice talking to you.
Yeah, they don't seem to have a problem with that.
No, I understand. It would be, as nutty as it sounds. I can understand that there are people in positions of power in China who would admit, maybe not ever publicly, but privately, best thing that could happen in a country might be a nuclear war.
Yeah.
Thin the population down to where they could actually get back and start to, you know, build on a basis where they could survive. Those who did survive would be able to live a fairly... something like a prosperous life, as it is right now. The population too great. They have too many problems. I see China as a paper tiger. Everybody's worried about China. Just like you said, they may hold it together another 5 years. I don't think they're going to hold it together for 20.
Well, they're going. I mean, they'd have to make some serious and drastic changes.
Have you ever seen any of those videos and reports on traffic jams in China?
Yeah, I've seen some videos on it. It's amazing.
They have traffic jams that go on for miles and miles and miles. They get into gridlock there that lasts for days.
Right.
I mean, if you're going out in your car, you better pack a Snickers bar because you're liable to be there for a while. And what do? You're not going to abandon your little car to go home.
No.
And if you do, people will shove it off the road when the time comes to start moving again. You can't leave it. You can't stay. You're going to live in your car for several days until the traffic jam unwinds. You know, I feel sorry for the people on one level. I just, you know, one of the things about it, I was in India years ago when I was, matter of fact, I worked my way over on a merchant marine vessel back in, 1965.
Back when they still had American crews?
Yeah, absolutely. The ship was American-owned, and the crew was American, and the rest of that sort of thing, yeah. It was an old World War II freighter, and we hauled grain over there. And one of the things I realized You can go to India and you see people living on the streets. And you go to India and you see overpopulation, and it was there then, and today I get probably three times the population, maybe more, as compared to what it was when I was there. But you only have extraordinary population growth in countries that are extraordinarily hospitable. You don't have overpopulation in the Gobi Desert. You don't have overpopulation at the North Pole or the South Pole. You have overpopulation in places that are so lush that people can get by. They're not harsh climates. They're lush. There's fruit grown on the trees. You can survive. You can even live without having a house. So what you learn is that, you know, overpopulation is the sort of thing, if it wasn't for Adam and Eve messing up with that apple, it could be that the Garden of Eden would be so overpopulated today that nobody could find the tree of knowledge. Hard to say what happened. But the implication is China, I have never been there. And I doubt that I can't imagine I'll ever get there. But China has to be, in its own way, a very benign climate. Not all of it. I know they've got desert and they've got a bunch of stuff. But that big population, that enormous population, has to be the result of a fairly benign climate.
Wow. And I just looked up Beijing. I'm amazed. I mean, I figured it was big, but the population of just Beijing is 21 million.
Yeah.
That's a big city.
I don't know how many are bigger.
Me either. Maybe Mexico City, but that, you know.
Yeah, that might be. That might be. Tokyo, maybe. I don't know. Not Chicago.
No. No. You see, American big cities are running, 7-8 million?
Yeah.
Beijing's 21 million.
Mm-hmm.
That's like, that's, almost three New York cities.
You know, they better not hold a dance out there where everybody stomps their feet at the same time.
Down another 5 feet.
The whole city's liable to fall another 5 feet in one dance. Just, you know, none of that foot stomping, no rock and roll for Beijing. You understand? Well, here's speaking of China, where are we right now?
Actually,
for time?
You know what? Mexico City's only got 8.86 million, so they're not even close.
Yeah, but they probably have a level of pollution that in some regards it might almost be comparable to that of China.
It may be, yeah.
Yeah. I went to Mexico City again also when I was a kid, and I thought it was going to be the next Paris. It was beautiful. It was spectacular. Great. Just magnificent trees on the Paseo de la Reforma, and it was a wonderful city. And ancient buildings, a couple hundred years old, right next to modern skyscrapers. It was really a wonderful place. But the pollution became so bad in Mexico City that it killed off most of the trees, turned the air gray. It's nothing that does not excite the imagination the way it did back in the 1960s. Pollution's big trouble, and China's got it. Mexico City's got it. We'll see where else it's going to strike. I'm Alfred Adask here on Financial Survival with co-host Frank Stephan. We'll be back in just a moment. Please stay tuned.
Come on. Unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people. Your neighbors. The mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here on Financial Survival with co-host Frank Stephan. I've got to want to remind you that daily special is an Mint State 63 $20 St. Gaudens gold coin, just a shade, a hair under 1 ounce, plus a 1 ounce silver eagle, shipping included, $1,580. Heck of a deal. Mint State 63 St. Gaudens, often considered one of the most beautiful American coins ever minted. They offer any portfolio protection, privacy, and performance. And, of course, you know what a one-ounce silver eagle is. Get them both. MS63, $20 St. Gaudens, one-ounce silver eagle, $1,580. Give them a call at Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. All your gold and silver coin needs. Here's something that's interesting, Frank. This is from the New York Times. Arab nations strike in Libya, surprising United States. That's the headline. Cairo, twice in the last 7 days, Egypt and the United Arab Emirates have secretly launched airstrikes against Islamist-allied militias battling for control of Tripoli, Libya, according to four senior Americans. This is a major escalation of regional power structure set off by the Arab Spring revolts. Those are, 2-3 years ago? I failed to see how the Arab Spring is responsible for what's happening now. I understand that they're fundamental. You know, there's a theme there. There's a fundamental.
Can't they blame George Bush?
I mean, George, he hasn't done anything lately except paint bad
pictures. If they're going to blame the Arab Spring for something's going on now, you might as well just blame George Bush.
I'm thinking Irish Spring.
Okay, there you go.
I'm thinking a shortage of Irish Spring in the Middle East is perhaps, I think that's the cause of the problem. The United States, officials said, was caught by surprise. Egypt and the Emirates, both close allies and military partners, acted without informing Washington. Gasp. Leaving Obama administration, also known as the little man behind the curtain, on the sidelines. That is kind of interesting. They're acting, they're bombing people without permission from Washington. What do you think that signals, Frank?
Maybe Washington doesn't have the juice they used to.
I'd say that's true.
You know, and can you blame anybody, though? I mean, look at the foreign, and I say this, you know, almost cringing, foreign policy of this administration has been, you know, and I basically have, you know, said that, you know, U.S. foreign policy is more like, you know, running drunk with scissors. These guys are just, they're, you know, come on. What is our foreign policy? I mean, it's not discernible.
Yeah, I understand that.
And I think the rest
and it's
of the
certainly
world
not coherent unless the object is simply to create chaos. there is no order here. Well. You know, now we have to wonder, are they simply incompetent at maintaining peace, or are they unable to maintain peace? Or do they want chaos and war?
I think for this whatever article reason they want it.
I think they may also. I think they're look at least in places, I think they actually want the chaos. Here's more of this article I was reading from. The strikes in Tripoli are another salvo in a power struggle defined by Arab autocrats battling Islamist movements seeking to overturn the old order. So it's the autocrats versus the Islamists. Hmm? Well, Frank, what does the word autocrat mean? Are autocrats people who own automobiles? Are the Muslims who own automobiles fighting against the Islamic fundamentalists who insist that camels are the only profit-approved way to travel? What do you think, Frank?
I have no idea. They
you don't have it.
You know, they use these words. I was reading about climate change, and now they've come up with... Now they have a word when they lie about the statistics and just change them. They say that's homogenizing them.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, who knows what they mean? I don't know what they mean anymore.
All it really means is they're talking about, they're actually talking about despots and tyrants. And it gets deeper than this. The Middle East is being torn up by a fight between the Muslim autocrats, that is to say the fascists who currently rule, and the Muslim fanatics running around like ISIS, for example, who want to rule. So, Frank, who are you betting on? The fascists or the fanatics? Who's going to win in the Middle East?
The fanatists. Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, the fanatics. You think the fanatics are the ones? Well, you may be. We'll watch and see how it shakes out, but it's interesting. You've got fascists versus fanatics. It's kind of like a rugby match in England. You don't necessarily need to root for either side, but there's going to be some kind of violence. You know? I don't know who your favorite is, but somebody's going to get hurt badly before this is done. What else do we have?
I got a call during the break here from somebody in California, and they because they were commenting on the gun, you know, when we were talking about that. In California, somebody has now submitted a bill. H.R. 5344, and they call it something like Responsibility Act or something. And what it does is it's going to ban body armor from public, you know, from private use. So Joe, you know, Lunch Bucket can't go out and get body armor. You know, and you just have to wonder about that, because body armor, no way, no how can be considered in any way an offensive weapon. It is absolutely by its nature defensive. So what could possibly be the thought process that we need to ban this from you to have?
Well, they're concerned that if you have body armor, if you're a heavy-duty criminal or a terrorist, it will encourage you to pick up a rifle and go shoot it out with the cops or whoever.
Who also have body armor.
If you think you're invulnerable, you're more inclined to be crazy. That's their thinking. This isn't to protect the American people. I'll guarantee you that. Oh, they might argue that we're going to... Some of these guys who shot came to school and shot up a bunch of kids. It may be that they showed up with body armor. I don't know if that's to the what extent that's true or false. But it's just more nonsense. You'd think these guys get paid by the pound for the legislation they'd pass in state legislatures and Congress.
Well,
it doesn't make any difference whether you do something intelligent or stupid or whatever. Just pass something.
Yeah. I mean, people got to start realizing, though, I mean, this is only to take away your defensive capabilities. I mean, this is so they don't feel comfortable with you having that because they can't shoot you as easy.
That's exactly right. And it's ultimately to protect the police. It's to protect the military by giving them an advantage over the American people. Again, the thing you got to look at, folks, as unpleasant as it is to contemplate, the federal government ordered something like 2 billion rounds of ammunition in the last couple of years for domestic consumption. Not for the Army, but for domestic agencies here in the United States. They have reportedly ordered automatic weapons for some of the domestic agencies, government agencies. Automatic weapons to deal with what? An invasion of the Red Chinese? The Muslims are coming? What? You know, ISIS is going to set up here in the United States? Those automatic weapons are intended for you and me, ladies and gentlemen. Those 2 billion rounds are intended for you and me. The government is anticipating a significant conflict between the American people and government. It doesn't mean it's going to happen, but it does mean that those of us who talk about this and warn of the possibility, we're not just a bunch of crazed kooks. Truth is, government's stacking up those rounds. They want to say, you, the people we are likely to be shooting at, we don't want you to have any body armor.
Yeah.
And we're sitting back and say, you know, maybe it'd be a good idea to get some body armor.
Well,
yeah, and that may even be the object here. You know, if I was selling body armor, Frank, if I was in the body armor business, first thing I might do is bribe a couple of congressmen or state legislators to try to pass a law that would outlaw body armor. As soon as people think that, they're going to be out there swarming into the stores buying any body armor they can find.
Well, that's true. Obama's been the best gun salesman that there's
exactly.
ever been.
Exactly. You know? So if we could get Obama to speak out, Mr. Obama, we're from the Body Armor Manufacturers Association, and we'd like you to take a public stand against people buying body armor. Would you do that for us, please?
Yeah. Boy.
And we'll give you money, Bubba. I mean, we got the money to bribe you. You know?
And we will after you say that, that's for sure. We'll have it then. We'll pay you right after you make that announcement because
exactly.
The money will start rolling in then. And, you know, it's just, but, you know, folks need to understand now body armor, yeah, that it can help you under certain circumstances, but it does not make you invulnerable.
No,
it
does.
And it's just, you know, it's like wearing a seatbelt. You can still die in a car crash.
Yeah.
You know, chances are you're not going to get thrown out of the car and die that way. You know, but you're not invulnerable until they come up with the personal, defense shield. You know, then no, you still got worries. But I mean, it's a good thing to have. You know, I mean,
well, it's an interesting thing to have. I don't plan on buying any body armor. I'm getting too old to get into gunfights and the rest of that sort of thing. Not to say who knows. Who knows what's going to happen, but. If it gets to a point where I need body armor, I don't know.
The way I figure, I'm too old to get in a fist fight, so if it's anything, it'll be a gunfight. You know, I'm still young enough to lift up the gun. But a fist fight, I don't know. I'm getting up there, you know, for that. But, you know, I've looked at this thing, and this happens to be a bank that I deal with, and Wells Fargo. And I've noticed this, and I've mentioned this, but now here's an article, actually, saying that, yeah, Wells Fargo now is so they're going to stop making mortgage loans to a lot of people. Even though, you know, we see these rates, oh, man, I can get a house for 3-4%, right? Mortgage, that's great, but they won't lend you the money.
Yeah.
Lenders are making...
And why won't they lend you the money?
Well, they're making fewer home loans, once thought to be safe, because investors now perceive those loans to be risky.
Yeah.
What they used to think was safe is now risky. So what changed?
Well, it's not just what they used to think. Well, that's true in terms of the probability that more people are going to be unemployed. That might be what they're thinking about. It may be that they're anticipating we're going into a deeper recession, perhaps a depression, and somebody's saying, look, on average, these people can't pay. They think they're going to be able to pay on their mortgages, but we look at the numbers and the statistics and the projections, and we think, no, they're not going to be able to, and therefore we won't lend the money. That might be part of their thinking. I'm not saying it is, but it might be. The other thing is that the interest rates are so low they can't make money off of it.
Well, that's true. But,
you know, why should I lend money to someone where I know I'm going to lose money? Given the inflation rate, I know I'm going to lose money. I might just as well sit on it. I'm going to lose a percentage. I'm not going to make any profit lending it. I might as well just sit on it, and I'm going to lose money to the inflation, but I'm not going to lose money to a lender who loses his job and can't pay off the loan at all.
But here's the question. Now, here's the bank saying, okay, we're not going to loan this anymore because let's just say it's because the interest rates are low. And I think it's a combination between that and their projections.
There's no one answer
to do. But the thing is, let's say that part. Okay, so the interest rates are low. So would they rather cut off the free money they've been getting from the Fed and raise interest rates? Or do they want to keep getting the quantitative easing and keep interest rates low? Which is it? What do they want? They don't seem to
want. Well, Frank, if you had a choice between running your business and working 60, 70 hours a week to hold it together, or option number two, we're just going to give you the money and you don't even have to show up for work.
Well,
what's your choice?
Yeah, I get it. So
yeah,
basically,
free money, Bubba. It's hard to pass that opportunity up.
So just keep piling in the quantitative easing, keep the interest rates low, and we won't loan anybody anything because we're making more money just taking the money than loaning the money.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this is going to be great for the economy.
Oh yeah, it's wonderful. And who's going to pay? Who's going to pay the debt on all the money that was loaned to the banks?
Well, this should be a good.
The same people that the banks won't trust to lend money to. Is there a contradiction somewhere here, Frank? I'm not sure. We don't trust you people to be good for paying back the money we lend you. But we are going to hold you accountable for the money that you've lent us, that the government has lent us.
I think this is a good cause for people to look at gold and silver at the levels they're at now and buy.
I agree. You know, you look at this, and it is a house of cards. And they may be able to hold it together, who knows, for how much longer, I don't know. But it also could go at any time. And what do? You protect yourself. Give them a call at Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. I'm Alfred Addis here with Frank Stefan on Financial Survival. We'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Frank, and Melody, who's on vacation. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? There never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. In my dreams, I have a plan. If I got me a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work at all. I'd fool around and have a ball. Money, money, money. Money in a rich man's world. Money, money, money.